Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you're the singer or the writer or the father or the son, no matter the role, you have a purpose. You're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated people in building a wall and closing the gaps around ancient Jerusalem and also building a way of life. How did he do it? He cued them up. C-U-E them up. C is for common ground. What we can agree on as to why we've come together. U is to unify thought. What vision can we share? What we intend to do. And E, equally yoked, what's the game plan? What's success look like? What's my role in it? And how do we do it together? So Q leadership integrates biblically principles in general of leadership, change management, communications, in order to using Nehemiah as the model to helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you. Two, get people to follow you in discipleship. Trust and discipleship are at the very axis of leadership. As we always do, we want to start our show with our prayer. So, Lord, you are powerful, merciful, living God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead this ministry and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you, Lord. We know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things. By one, giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word shares in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose. Align, equip, and transform some new leaders for your glory. Help others hear the call and receive the call, and raise some transformation leaders and gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What to expect today? As we always, we like to have a dialogue, like to have a conversation about leadership based in God's word. We try to equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into faith and to build that discipleship and to build that trust, those two elements of the axis of leadership. And we like to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference that can testify to God's goodness in their lives. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine some light and some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but to provide a different lens on to see things, but it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of the problem and treat the infection and not the runny nose, so to speak. So today, we also, let's be open. Let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me. Let's have the right questions, no matter what the differences may be. Let's remember that this life is about love and surrender, and there will be differences of opinion at times. But let's do what a true transformation leader says. Let's agree without being disagreeable and be thought partners and just have a fruitful dialogue. So today's show, thanks for joining us. It's been another great week for all of us. We've, of course, have all been busy, had some great time with friends and family. You know, lots of times when you see the spring coming, it reminds me of being back home and growing up, and really, really start seeing the growth and the birds and so forth and the blooms on the trees. And, it reminds me of our way of life of growing up in the deep south and growing up in L.A., Lower Alabama, as we say. You know, when we talk about southern life, I kind of sums it up and as I shared times before in 5 F's. Family, faith, fun, freedom, and food, right? And faith, as we grew up, you know, church was definitely at the center of our community. Christ is the center of that, and to govern how we raise and we treat each other, how we raise our kids, and how we participate in society. And family perspective, growing up where we were is about the village, our community, looking out for each other, holding each other accountable, and really being one to another in love in so many ways. Lots of fun. Some fun that I wish my kids could share, and being part of the country life, they get exposed to it lots of times when we go home. But just imagine being on your front porch, just watching the sunset after a day's long work or a good game of anything, football, baseball, basketball, at the creek having fun, in the backyard cookout, even around a warm fire after a good morning's hunt. You know, even the bonfire at night at a family reunion or a celebration or just the fellowship. You miss those times at times. And also freedom. You know, like any American, Southerners, we love our freedom. Freedom can be defined in many ways, but it matters how it's been used. And it's about the freedom to have the way of life, freedom to worship, to laugh, to love, freedom to take a slower pace, probably around the heat or the humidity of the day. But sitting on the porch, going home, is always a refresher for me, and lots of times in the way to kind of just slow down for the hustle and bustle of life and so forth. Read it, really, and also the freedom of keeping your word. Keeping your word is definitely vital for where I come from. And this freedom also includes not to use the phrase you all, but to use y'all every now and then, and even in every conversation. And it's that type of thing that keeps you going when I think about this time of the year. But lastly, it's always about the food. It's always about the food. Living off the land, when we hunted, we were not just hunting for sport, but we were literally going to the grocery store. I know it's not a good analogy for some people, but it was. It was part of our way of life. You know, even when it comes to meals, you know, I think about collard greens, you know, roasted fried chicken, biscuits and gravy, the good grits in the morning, homemade macaroni and fresh catfish, fried okra, butter beans. I know you guys are getting hungry from that. Even all the way to all sorts of sweets from pecan pie and red velvet cakes and all those different things. And even delicacies like some deer sausage. And even though I didn't eat pig feet, but, you know, we raised hogs, but I know all about them. And even from the perspective of sweet tea, you know, and even you see more restaurants now sharing sweet tea. But when I go home, I have to have my mom's butter beans. It's just something about the way my mom cooks those, and even when she sometimes, when I come home, she'll cook a pot for me, even though everybody else has some other things going on. But you know when I'm at home or in the right place, there's something that there's also some things that distinguish you that those places. And if someone were to blindfold me and transport me to somewhere unknown, and when they arrive, they ask me, was I in L.A. or in the Deep South? I would look around first to see if looking for the red clay or the kudzu, right? I look for that. That's a telltale sign. I'll look up at the pine trees and so forth. But then I'll start searching for one unmistakable smell. And you know what that smell is? That's the Kaneka sausage. And if you don't know what Kaneka sausage is, you need to find out fairly quickly. I don't eat pork anymore because of cholesterol reasons, but, you know, when I go home, I do cheat a little bit. You know, I have the discipline. You know, I quit drinking almost over 5 years ago and have a discipline to do things, but I tell you, when it comes to Kaneka sausage, I lose all discipline. It is just not like any sausage. This is not a paid commercial, by the way, but it is. If you have not had it, please try them and try to order them as soon as you can. But when I smell that Kaneka sausage at home or the local superfood grocery store or the local gas station or the local cafe or even most of all home in my mom's kitchen, I know that I am in the right place. And even from the right place, speaking of the right place, you know, we all have asked that particular question, especially when it comes to being home and smelling the great foods and so forth. So I want you, our guest today, I'm going to introduce him in a little bit, also has a jingle around this Kaneka sauce, and I just want everyone to hear it because this is an important piece of food in the South perspective. And Kennedy, play that jingle for us. And
favorite jeans, favorite shirt. Got Kaneka sausage and I'm firing it up, yeah, everybody knows how I get my grill on. You can smell that flavor up and down the road, it's a little taste of heaven that everybody knows. That's how I get my grill on. Up and down the road, it's a little taste of heaven, and everybody knows. That's how I get my grill on. Kanaka sausage. It's just a little taste of heaven.
It is a little taste of heaven, and I tell you, that little taste of heaven, it will make anyone go off their diet just to take a bite of it, and it is something that resonates throughout all the South, and it is a distinctive smell, and you know exactly where it's coming from, and it also lets you know that you are in the right place. Speaking of the right place, we all have asked that in our lives. Am I in the right place? More than once in our lives, not just when we're trying to go somewhere familiar or unfamiliar, but really, who has the answer? And someone has been there before, and our guest, and you heard him on the jingle with Kanaka Sausage, who's here to help us with our question of the day. Am I in the right place? And that special guest, friends, is Kevin Sport. He's a writer, singer, and host of the weekly television radio show, The Right Place, with Kevin Sport. Kevin produces a brand with a simple message, and with The Right Place, he brings on guests who can share their talents and story in a way that connects. The conversations and moments that they share engage the viewer and to think about themselves and the people in their lives. And through their guests and live performances, and the passion is not only to leave people entertained, but touched. And inspired and encouraged. And because when, as Kevin would say, when you're following your dream, your God-given dream, you're always in the right place. So with that, we're going to bring on our special guest, Kevin Sport, the host of the weekly television show and radio show, The Right Place with Kevin Sport. He is his calling is not just to lead people, get entertained, but to touch and inspire and encourage others. So let's give Kevin a virtual applause. Kevin, welcome. Welcome to On Cue.
And man, I am excited to be on your show. And you just put a smile on my face every time I hear that jingle. I smile. And it's not because I wrote it and sang on it. It's just there's a story behind it for me that means a lot, and I'll be happy to share it. But first of all, it's an honor, and it's a blessing to be on your show. I appreciate you taking the time to have me on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time. I know you got a busy schedule these few weeks, and it's at the right time. It's definitely at the right time. And I don't know how much I can stress to people, and even, you know, my daughter and my kids and my wife, they're big believers of it too, around this Kanaka sausage. But we're going to get to that story, though. But it is something that if you haven't had it, you need to have it, and once you have it, you'll continue to have it. So that's the where it is. Hey, again, thank you. You know, as we always do, we want to start our show with the same two questions, and then of course we'll mm-hmm. continue to lead and let the spirit take us where it may. But you know, Kevin, to get everyone to know a little bit more about you, these first two questions I always ask. One is, what is the one word that describes you, and why?
Wow. You pick good questions, first of all. I would have to say perseverance, but when I say that in a real humble way, because there are many days where I've prayed to have it. And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to your show are nodding their heads, because it's not an easy thing to achieve. Having perseverance takes a daily effort, but if I had to choose one word, I would choose that one. We refuse to quit unless God were going to lead us in a different direction.
Yes.
I guess I throw that in there because that can happen. You know, God can say, "Hey, you've done what I need you to do here. I've got something else for you." And I feel confident that you'll know exactly what that is when the time is right.
Absolutely. You're so right. So right. It is perseverance that, and you'll know if you're in tune of if he's sending you one direction or not. And hopefully we'll be able to kind of share some wisdom and help people understand when to know and when to go, when to change direction or continue to push through.
Absolutely.
You know, related to that, This is probably a triple question. Now I'm just smiling because I'm asking a person who is following their calling and dream. But I'm just going to ask you anyway.
Okay.
If money was no issue, what would you do every day?
I love that question. If money was no issue, what would I do every day? Well, I'm doing it. I am doing what I love every day. And if I had asked myself that question before I got back into the entertainment business, I probably would have just made a different plan. I don't know. I'm laughing because that question hits me a certain way. Like, we've all heard the old adage, you know, well, if you're gonna wait till you have enough money to have kids, you'll never have them. Or if you're going to wait till you have enough money to get married or whatever, you can throw a lot of things in that sentence, you know. But, and I'm not saying that you don't need to sit down and map out a plan and pray about it and set yourself on a course. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not, you know, but what I am saying for me, and probably for some other folks out there, sometimes, you know, the money, you know, you just got to trust it will be there when you need it. And that's just the truth. Sometimes you can lay out all the best laid plans in the world and they can turn out being a whole lot different in that respect than you thought they would be. But I do love the question because isn't it true? I mean, a lot of people are thinking, man, if I just had X amount of dollars in the bank, I would quit my job and do something else.
You're so right. I'm smiling and raising my hand because all that you talked about, I've been there and been there. And of putting together a plan around the ministry and other things, still it's just doing it, right? Just going out and stepping and doing it. And that's really, you hit on some great points that I talk about, not only just on the show, but just in the ministry overall. Just start. just start. And you got to faith that the resources will be there. And if not, there's a lesson in it. And so continue to push, persevere through it, right? And
yeah, absolutely.
That's essentially what we're trying to do. So before we get to the Kaneka sausage story, let's just tell us a little bit more about you, about Kevin Sport.
Well, we have something in common.
Yes.
We grew up in the same hometown. It's always a pleasure to talk to someone who I have that in common with because you know exactly what I'm about to describe. Greenville, Alabama, for me, will always be special because that's where I grew up. That's where most of my family and friends, and still to this day, some of my closest friends live in Greenville, Alabama. And I grew up underneath my grandfather. I had some, and I say I don't want to single anybody out because I have a great family on both sides. My mother's family, my dad's family, my mother's, both of them came from Crenshaw County and ventured over to Greenville, and that's why I ended up in Greenville. So I love history, too. It matters to me. You know, history matters. I get into that with everybody. So that's where my journey started, and I started singing at a young age and performing when I was in grammar school. It became a part of my life early. I sang in church like many of us do, and it was wonderful to grow up in a small town. Now, some folks don't say that. Some folks can't wait to get out of there, you know, if they get a chance to leave. I left because I needed to follow my dream. I didn't leave because I didn't like Greenville or had that chip on my shoulder per se. It was a wonderful place, you know, and it still is. I love South Alabama.
It still is.
Oh, yeah.
And I can relate to you on all those points, and it's nothing like going home for me. I call it home, but it's right. It's a refresher. It's always a refresher for me when I go back.
Sure.
And wish I can get there more. You know, tell us a little bit you know, about your music in a sense, and then pull that into the jingle and give us a story about the Kaneka sausage. Just tell us, you know, in a few words, if you were to describe your music, what it is.
I would say country music is, to me, a combination of gospel, blues, and then from there, you know, we have all kinds of, you know, southern rock, you know, you've got bluegrass, of course, but the country music to me is music that tells a story. And sure, mm-hmm. I mean, we have fun songs. I mean, and so a lot of people will get into the production of the song, and I always, and not to get too technical, but I always answer that with, well, the way a song is produced in whatever decade we may be in is one thing, and there's an art behind all of that, and I respect that, and I'm a part of it. But the heart of country music for me is talking about life in a real way. I grew up and I was influenced by so many wonderful people, from Ray Charles to Muddy Waters to Earl Thomas Conley, Charlie Rich, Allman Brothers, Alabama, Shenandoah. I mean, I could go on, and those people talked about life in their songs, whether it was something, whether it was a breakup or whether it was a makeup or whether it was losing someone close to us, or songs about a home, songs about faith. I mean, there's a reason why the Ryman is called the Mother Church of Country Music, because you can't get away from the fact that that we welled up from our churches all across this country.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up singing and performing in church, and it's a strong part of how we write and how we try to share those emotions through our songs in order to connect with people. I believe music is the most powerful thing, one of the most. I believe love is the most powerful thing ever. But music is such a powerful tool because it combines knowledge with emotion, and it can inspire, it can help people heal, it can help people release hurt that they've been carrying for years. I can't tell you how many times I've been driving down the road and the right song will hit me in the right moment, and I just might start bawling like a baby. I tease everybody. I said, yeah, there's a grown man driving down the road, you know, crying. But
right.
But that's what music does. And it also makes us happy, and that's a good thing, too. We should celebrate the joys of life. We should celebrate our friendships. We should embrace every great moment we have to share together. And
absolutely. I love that point. Combine knowledge with emotion. Very simple and distinctive, and it's so true about music, and it's telling that story, you know, which is important. I told a group of kids last week, is nobody can tell your story better than you can. And so if you can do that, people won't forget you. You can tell your story just right.
Amen.
Related to that, though, let's talk about the Kaneka sausage. Hopefully you didn't mind me throwing that in there, but I just have to give people a sense. I smile every time I think about the smell. so talk about the jingle and the story behind the Kaneka sausage jingle.
I will, because the Sessions family will always be special. I have a very special place in our hearts. We had a dream. You know, I briefly touched on it. I moved to Nashville and spent 7 years there, worked for two publishing companies, and things were headed in a direction. I was younger. I was green. I didn't understand the music business. And there were some things going on in my personal life. I gave up, and then I got back into it. Well, the Kaneka sausage part of this story, what makes it so special is we didn't have everything that we have going on now, with being on RFD and being in over 42 million households on that network and working to get to that point with our brand. I had a dream, and we did have a few things going for us, and I got in my car and I drove down to Evergreen, Alabama, because I loved Kaneka sausage. mm-hmm. first and foremost, their sausage led me down there because I grew up eating it. I mean, it is incredibly good. So I walk in there, and Mr. Sessions met with me, and I looked at him, and I said, Mr. Sessions, this is what we're working on, and I would really be proud if you would be a sponsor with what we're doing. Mm. And he said, okay. He said, okay, son. He said, well, I'll think on it. He said, and you come back and talk to me. And so I walked out, and I thought on it too, and I realized they didn't have a jingle, and I went back home. And that's one of the easiest jingles I've ever written in my life. And I think the reason was because it was so ingrained and so much a part of our upbringing and our culture, and you know, throwing stuff on the grill. They had the tagline, you know, get your grill on with Kaneka sausage. And so I just ran with it, and that's what came out. And to our great pleasure, and we feel blessed to say this, it's been one of the most played jingles that I've ever written, and I'm very proud to talk about them anytime I get a chance, because it wasn't just the fact that we wrote a jingle. For me personally, it was a strong sign that I was in the right place, you know. And they came on board first, and for that reason, they'll always be special to us, because you know they kind of grew with us, and we're grateful for that, and we're grateful for the blessing. I mean, it's not easy to follow your dream, and with everything that was going on then too. I mean, markets were crashing. I had just had the opportunity to follow this dream and do this work and enjoy it, and everything around us at that time was pretty chaotic, you know, and so that's the reason. That's the reason right there. I love sharing that story, because you don't know who's going to be put in your path that will help you, and in turn you can help them too.
Amen. You know, you're so right. Especially when you think things are tough, the markets and your situation. But Lord will make a way in the right time, right? He will make a way. That's such a great story. Thanks for sharing that. And yeah. I'm going to try not to think about Kaneka sausage for the rest of the time here, but it is something, if those are listening, go out on the web and get and order your package of Kaneka sausage. You won't be disappointed.
No, you will. You will not be disappointed.
You know, what you've shared so far about the music, especially combining knowledge with emotion, your family, your food, your fun, and really faith, all of those things is kind of part of the story and testimony that's a part of most of us that are pursuing, you know, some purpose or some calling. You know, you shared a few of your songs and so forth. And if I were to wrap all of that fun up in a song, it would probably be Destined, right? And
wow, I love it.
It would probably be Destined. So talk about and introduce Destined for us, and then we'll go into a break with that song, okay?
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad that you picked that one. I wrote that song to embarrass the kids in our life. I joke around about that. I wanted to write a love song because I want to encourage people to don't take advantage of that relationship. You know, it's important. You know, it's important to take your wife or your husband out on a date. It's important to and cherish, you know, cherish those moments. Being in love with somebody like I am with Sandy is one of the best things that I love to talk about, and that's what that song's all about. We grew up going down to Destin, Florida, because you know as well as I do, it's not that far away from Greenville, Alabama. And we grew up going down there and when we were teenagers, and then now, every chance we get, you know, we love going back there. And I was in the right mood, I suppose. I believe every song that we write is a gift. I really do. I think that a lot of us may be prone to be songwriters or singers because we have that passion instilled in us. But I just believe that we're conduits, and God chooses to use who he's going to use to write whatever he wants to write. And I believe that that love songs are important too. And for me, this will always be my favorite one. And I'm glad you want to play it. I hope it'll inspire somebody to plan a vacation or a special moment with that special someone.
You know, before I play it though, you said a word there. You said her name, and you said Sandy. Before I play,
yeah.
Talk about Sandy just for a second.
I would be happy to. I joke around with folks a lot, but it's true. Our life would be a good, or our story would be a good Lifetime movie. And for those of you out there who may have given up on finding the right person to share your life with, don't give up on that. No, keep praying about it. We had a bad breakup my sophomore year of college, and I didn't see her for 10 years. And I got back together with Sandy. It was a real tranquil. I mean, I was sitting in my office. I had stumbled out of the music business for a while, and I got an email from her and hadn't talked to her in over a decade. And it was one of those moments I will never forget for as long as I live. And both of us had gone down some roads, and it didn't work out too well. And that's how we reunited. And then it took a little while after that, and then we were married. We joke around because we've known each other for 30 years. I met Sandy when I was 13 years old.
Okay.
For me, that's one of the best blessings that God's given me is her. Because she has been so supportive. She's a wonderful mother. She's an incredible wife, and she has been extremely, extremely supportive in this work and what I do. And she's not the only one. But since you're bringing her to the forefront there, yes, I love to talk about my wife. She's incredible.
Absolutely, it's absolutely important. Important, and it's not only just here, but in the past, and also in the future. It's nothing like having a good best friend along the way.
Right.
So we're gonna play Destin, and we'll be right back after the break. This is On Cue. I'm your host Eric Powell. We'll be right back after this.
Colors dancing in your eyes like the sunbeams that run across that sky in distance. And with every taste of your kiss, I find a memory that fits. 'Cause it was only a couple hours down the road. Many times before, but it always leaves us coming. back for more in this time. And I know in life is sand that comes and goes, but a lover's memory, it goes on and on. Cause it was only a couple hours down the road to paradise, where the song makes a memory and the dances linger into the night.
And with us, you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead what you are by getting you on cue with God's will. Today's question today, am I in the right place? And you were listening to Destin, who is written and performed by our special guest, Kevin Sport. He's the host of a weekly television show, The Right Place with Kevin Sport. His calling is not only to lead people, entertain, but to touch and inspire and encourage, because as he says, when you're following your dream, your God-given dream, you're always in the right place. Kevin, love Destin.
Hey, I'm glad you did. I enjoyed writing that song, as I was saying before. It's a special song, and my wife's the reason I wrote it. So, thank you for playing it, man. Thank you for playing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's shift gears just for a second, right? Tell us about The Right Place, and then we'll talk about the journey to get to the right place. Just give the audience a little bit about your show and what you do and the mission and all the guests, a little history about The Right Place with Kevin Sport.
Hey, I would be happy to do that. The Right Place started in a small group. Now, some people may call that a Bible study or a get-together. We were going to church at a community church we enjoyed worshiping at the time, and those people I'm going to get in to talking about as I tell you this story, there are some very special people that are along the ride that are invaluable. But we were all in that small group together, and at the time I wasn't very I wasn't ill or in a bad frame of mind necessarily, but I was a little bit cynical about life because I had gone through a few things. I was very happy. Sandy and I were together, and our life was good. Our marriage was good. But, you know, I had been gone down a few roads and like a lot of us, just gotten beaten up a little bit. And we were going through this series called The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkerson. Now, I have never met Bruce. I'd like to one day, but I do believe he was led to write that book. I have no doubt about that. Because as I started going through that book with the other people in our group, I realized that man has answered a question that I have been struggling with my entire life. Okay. Especially if you are called to be an entertainer, a singer, or someone like that, because That profession is even hard to say to somebody. You know, I remember the first time, them, what do you do for a living? And then you hesitate because you know when you tell them, you don't really know the response you're going to get, you know, because it's not a hobby, it's a full-time job. And but anyway, the question that he answers in the book is why do you have that passion inside of you? You see, we have the choice of doing what we want to do in this life. That's been graciously given to us. And I believe in God, of course. So, and even my friends that might not, you know, this is not a dig on anyone. It's just that because believing in God, you know, is a big deal. It's something that, you know, you can't push someone to do and or anything like that. That's not what we're about. But for me, I believe in a creator and God, and I believe in Jesus, and I struggled with that because all my life, from the time I was a little boy, you know, music was not just something that I wanted to do, like I like to fish or like I like to play golf, or I mean, those things are fun and I love them, but music and writing and creating was something that was a burning passion. And Bruce Wilkerson, in that book, explained that, well, it's there because God put it there.
Mm.
So for me personally, see, that like lifted a weight off my shoulder. Because it was no longer about me.
Mm-hmm.
See, I could confidently say I'm doing this and be okay with it. I could be okay with whatever criticism I was going to get. I could be okay with also the positive things that people might say to encourage me.
Absolutely.
Because I knew that okay, I'm not doing this because it's about me. I'm doing it because my Creator put it in my heart to do. So I'm going to do it, and it just frees you. I mean, I can't tell you really
freedom.
In words,
yeah,
how
freedom.
That feels. And yeah. when that question was answered, I got back into music. I mean, I had thrown, you know, we coined the phrase in my bio, and I didn't write that. Holly Todd wrote it. I supplied, you know, the info. And by the way, she is one of the persons in our group, and my manager, Terry Spivey, incredible human beings. I could not. We're all doing this because we love it. But when she wrote, you know, through the guitar up under the bed, well, that's true. I was turning down writing appointments, turning down engagements to sing because I thought that, well, this was just a foolhardy dream that didn't work out because my personal life was in a chaos. I could go on and on about all the negative things, the reason I quit the first time. And I say that because I know somebody out there is listening that maybe they have done the same thing. Maybe they quit something that they didn't need to quit, you know, that soon. Maybe they need to wait. Maybe they needed to know the same thing that I found out. Maybe they needed to realize that, hey, the reason it burns so much inside of me is because that's what I'm really supposed to be doing.
That's what you're really supposed to be doing. And I can relate to you in a big way as we've talked in the last few days. And you got to be open to the criticism as well as the support. Either way it goes, persevere to your point all the way through. Once you know the Lord planted there in your heart to do something, nothing should stop you. Nothing should stop you. So I understand, and I'll leave it at that. I definitely understand. You know, along the way, though, Kevin, you talked about, and we don't have to rehash unless you like to, you know, some of the harsh realities that you came up from a personal perspective and a business perspective, and you know, getting to the point where you may move on to something else, and maybe thought you were failing at something. You know, but my question is, you know, failure can be seen in two ways, right? One, this pursuit is not meant for you. I'm sure that probably went through your mind, or two, it's not time. You know, how can both be considered a blessing in your mind?
I think that both can be a blessing, first and foremost, when you are sold on the idea that you will be led where you need to go. In other words, that life is a journey. It's not a destination. We say that a million times on our show. Our guests say it in different ways. I think maturity comes into play, too, because if you're in your late teens or early 20s, you may not understand this as well as you will maybe when you're in your 30s and on, because it does take a little, and I'm not saying you have to be over 30 to gain some maturity. I just think it's true, but that's not always the case. But what I'm saying is you have to understand that life is a journey. So that means that you can accept the failures easier, and you can also discern whether what those failures are telling you. You know, for example, when I go back to that time in my life, being in my early 20s, it wasn't what I was doing as an entertainer or singer at that time or developing as a songwriter. It was the harsh realities of the business. that really hit, and it hit all of us, because the music business, the entertainment business, may be right up there with politics. I'm not sure, but but it's a tough business. There's a lot of things that happen that aren't always fair, and life's not always fair. You know how many times my mama's told us that? You know, life isn't always fair.
Sure.
But you do have to persevere, and for those of us who are trying to live our faith and love other people the way we believe Jesus wants us to, and we're always striving for that. You know, there's another battle going on in our minds and hearts, you know, with everything we do.
Okay.
And there should be. You know, it's not a cut and dry. I've heard this statement. It's only business. Well, no, not to me, because it's not just business to me. Because with everything that we do, it involves people, and that's the case probably with all of us. I don't know a business out there that doesn't involve people, and how
Absolutely.
We treat people, how we treat people in our business matters. It matters a lot, and you know, we can't always. Like you said, and you're open, sometimes we have to agree to disagree, but we want to always do the best we can to treat people the way we want to be treated. And I think when we get hit hard with tough things that happen to us on that level, sometimes we take that the wrong way, and we think that, oh well, I gotta change what I'm doing. Well, that may not be the case at all. We say this a lot, too. You can be in the right place, and things can be going horribly wrong. But it doesn't mean that you're not where God wants you to be. It doesn't mean that you're in the wrong place as far as that is concerned.
You know, great point. You know, with that, you hit another word that I cherish is discernment, right? And when failures and everything seem to be falling apart around you, but you still want to, You know, you need to chase that dream. How does someone discern that this is your God-given dream versus the God-given dream? You understand my questions? Help our audience with that distinction.
I do understand your question, and I think I'm gonna try my best to make one person on our team very happy with me, because I'm not a detailed person by nature.
Sure.
And honestly, most creative folks, and I hate putting us in a box because we're all different, you know, in many ways, but I am not that person that's very detailed, or, you know, I like the planning sessions, but what I like most about them is, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a list and let me do something. For those people out there who may be a little bit more analytical than I am, make a list. Make a list of the things that you do well. Make a list of the things that you love to do. And as simple as that sounds, it probably won't take you long. You can write down, okay, I'm really good at this, and I love to do it. And you're probably going to start finding out what your dream is, because
yeah.
Everybody has a dream. I don't care who, somebody's going to be listening to this and they're going to say, yeah, well, I don't really have a dream. It doesn't have to be a dream, an occupation or anything like that. It could be as simple as, and this is a big dream, if you ask me, you know, having a family and being a father or all these are big dreams. These are nothing to sugar. These are not sugarcoated. I mean, there's nothing simple about being a dad, and there's nothing simple about, you know, being a husband or a wife or whatever. But you can start zeroing it down to, okay, you know, these are the things I'm gravitating toward because I'm good at them, and I could probably get even better at them if I spent most of my time doing it. And I believe it's really that simple. I believe that God instills certain talents and abilities in all of us, and if we'll if we'll trust him enough to go in that direction, whatever direction that is, I personally believe our life will be better. And it's not just for us. See, that's the whole thing. You're not really doing, you know, it's the byproduct for us, the enjoyment. I mean, for me and what I'm doing, the enjoyment when I come off stage or when we do a show, or the enjoyment for me is being able to see people happy, being right. able to be to make a good memory for them. That makes me happy.
That makes you happy.
Makes me happy. But for somebody else, it may, even when I'm tired, it makes me happy. And that's another thing I might want to throw into that answer.
Okay.
Even on my tiredest, most frustrating day, you know, I wouldn't want to quit what I was doing for anything.
It'll still get you up in the morning or even in the afternoon when you just...
You better believe it.
Absolutely.
You better believe it. And that connects all the time.
That connects to, you know, part of the purpose, understanding your purpose. You know, I take individuals through certain elements and try to, I don't give them purpose, help them catch it, but that's where that second question comes in from, kind of help hone in what's your passion, what lies around your passion. And you can start mm-hmm. there and start making this list. You'll get there. You absolutely get there. So listen, friends, what Kevin just shared. You know, when you end this process, though, to your point, you don't mind getting up. You don't mind staying longer and so forth. And so with that, I wanted to – it kind of parallels the next song we're going to play around – barefoot, staying longer, a little while longer, because, you know, there's some learning that you could potentially get or could have gotten. And kind of talk about this song, and we'll go to the break with barefoot.
Hey, my pleasure to talk about it. I have a special memory with this song because Teddy Gentry wrote the song. Okay. One of my first projects when I got back into this and recorded a few songs, and we were in the studio, and I didn't know that, and for those of you who might not know who Teddy Gentry is, of course I know country music fans will, but Teddy Gentry played bass in the group Alabama, and he's an incredible songwriter and a great musician. Obviously Alabama was a very successful group. And I was pitched the song, and when I heard that song, I thought, man, this is something that I would have aspired to write myself, and I just fell in love with it. We've done this song so many times live now, it's just gotten better and better. You know, we've grown with the song, you know, we've lived with it for a while, and it spoke to me. It really did, because I went out on the John Barry Christmas tour. I opened for John two or three years ago on his Christmas tour. Incredible singer. John Barry is an incredible singer. And I sang that song, and this woman came up to me in tears after that concert was over, and she looked at me and she said, "Kevin, I want you to know I love the song, and you did great, but that song spoke to me." Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it speaks to me too, because I think about a lot of people that influenced me, and I say this when I sing the song live, I hope you'll go barefoot with me. Once you hear the song, you'll understand what it means, and it basically is another way of saying follow your dream, you know. The character in the song is the older man that passes away, and the son in the first stanza of the song is unpacking his things. And he finds a note, and the chorus of the song is the note that he finds. And that's what the song's all about. So I hope people will enjoy it, and I hope it'll encourage them.
Yeah, it touched me as well, and I'm sure it would touch those who are listening here. We're going to play barefoot, but during the break, we're talking to Kevin Sport, who is the host of the weekly television show, The Right Place with Kevin Sport. And we've enjoyed him so far as we continue to. If you've got any questions for us, feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 to press 1 on your telephone. It raises your hand virtually, You're also welcome to log into our live chat room and share what's on your mind, and Kennedy can bring you into discussion. If we'd love to hear from you, friends, our number 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back after Barefoot.
First time I saw Daddy really lose it. Day we got the word that Grandpa died. In time we were going through some boxes, found a book with these words he wrote inside. He said, when you're facing death, take a different look at life. If I had to do it all again, I wouldn't think twice. I'd go running down life's highway like it was paved with gold. Not afraid of the nails and thorns that might be in the road. I'd let all my weakness make me stronger. Go barefoot sooner. Stay barefoot longer. I'd wish I'd spent 4 days behind my daddy. My toes in that Alabama mud, walking with my woman on the creek bank, more time watching babies growing up. I'd never start a hat, a job I couldn't quit. I'd never wear somebody else's shoes that didn't fit. I'd go running down life's highway like it's a favorite road. Not afraid of the nails and thorns that might be in the road. I'd let all my weakness make me stronger. Go barefoot sooner. Stay barefoot longer. Off my shoes, I've got a new outlook.
I'm running down life's highway like it was paper gold. Not afraid of the nails and thorns, it might be in the road. I'm gonna let all my weakness make me stronger. I'm going barefoot sooner, staying barefoot longer.
Thanks for staying with us and listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Power. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. So today's the question of the day, am I in the right place? Helping us with that is our friend and special guest, Kevin Sport, who is the host of the weekly television and radio show, The Right Place with Kevin Sport. His calling, as you've probably heard in a previous segments, is not only to lead people and entertain, but touch and inspire and encourage, because, as he says, when you are following your dream, your God-given dream, you're always in the right place. Kevin, thanks for Barefoot. It's one of those that touched my heart as well when I first listened to it earlier today. It's a great song. And now that I know that a fellow Gamecock at JSU, Teddy Gentry, wrote it from Alabama, it's even more special.
Hey, amen, bro. That's good stuff right there. He's such a great guy, too. Anyone that's ever had a chance to meet Teddy will say that. He's a professional, and he's a wonderful person and a great entertainer. I appreciate you playing the song again, and we never get tired of playing live. So I appreciate it. Thanks, bro.
No, thank you. You know, you touched on some points earlier about – giving up on dreams and even putting your guitar under the bed and having to go fish it, right? How easy is it for someone to give up on that dream? So these things are important for those who are listening, especially pursuing a calling of theirs, right?
Mm-hmm. It's real easy. It's easy to give up. What's not easy is the lingering feeling that you have when you give up something that you're not supposed to give up. Because that feeling will never go away. For those of us who are really called to be singers or songwriters, I'm speaking from that perspective. But when I talk about it from something that I know, it will apply to anything. I'm just using this as an example to try to communicate my feelings. And for those of us who are called to do this, and we just are, when we're going down the road, for example, and we turn on the radio, we can't just enjoy singing along without knowing that, well, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's not a jealousy or envy thing at all. As a matter of fact, I know in the country music world, and I know it's not this way in L.A. and New York necessarily, but it's really a brotherhood. We encourage each other. I don't think – there have been very few times where I've had bad experiences, jockeying for position type of thing, the competitive side, of
sure.
any business. It's more of an encouragement, encouraging each other and all that. I guess that's another reason why I'm kind of drawn to country music. But if that desire is burning inside of you, whatever it may be, if you quit, then it'll be like that time that you knew you could have been a solid player in high school at a sport, or even college, and you quit too soon. It'll
sure.
always go. You know, how many times have you been talking with another guy, and I've said this about guys before that I've known, and I'd be like, man, he could have been this.
Right. One of the greatest.
Yes. And
yeah.
say it with all confidence, because we saw the talent. We saw, the ability. And for whatever reason, they just quit. And, my heart breaks for that because, there are reasons. There's the other side. I'm not saying that things don't happen to us all that cause us to go in another direction, but that's another subject altogether. We're talking about making a conscious decision to quit something that you're good at or that you're called to do, simply because one, you don't want to have to work through the trials or challenges. Two, you're just letting maybe someone else influence you in a wrong way. And you decide to quit something that you really should be doing. So I really sincerely want to encourage people to do what they're supposed to do, to pursue that dream that's been put in their heart and persevere through the tough times.
Yep, you're so right. You make a great point. Not only just the passion will burn in your heart to do something that is Lord given it to you, but if you miss that window and not do it, that regret also will burn in your heart as well in so many different ways. It's kind of just shift the course of your whole being until you find a
yeah.
way to express that. It is an important point that we all need to understand, and especially if
right.
to persevere and goes back to faith. Once that's putting your heart in that opportunity becomes, just step out, and your life is
mm-hmm.
a testament to that. But along
yeah.
the way, even when you haven't stepped out yet, the Lord will send people to remind you, right? to remind you, and like people around our hometown and other places asking, are you still singing? When
yeah.
you put the guitar on the bed, how important was that? We'll come in asking you, reminding you of that.
And that was key because they didn't want to talk about whatever I was doing at the time. and people that I hadn't seen in a long time, people that, and those are the best gauges, really, is people that hadn't laid eyes on you in years. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, well, you still pursuing your music, you still singing, you still, I heard that countless times. And, that's probably, looking back now that you say that, probably one of the best things that happened, because it made me answer the question. It made me answer the question to somebody that didn't have a dog in the hunt, so to speak. You know, there was no reason why they, would ask that first, either ahead or right behind, hey, how are you? That was it. That was the first thing. And it did. It hit me in the face. And I was like, well, no, I'm not. I even said that one time out loud to one person.
Really?
So actually, yes. And after I got through with the conversation, I walked away going, I'm really not. I'm really not singing. I'm not doing anything. And why am I not doing that?
Mm-hmm.
That was a blessing. Indirectly, it was a blessing.
Yeah, definitely helps reality along the way. And and even we talked about Cindy earlier, and the reason not only send people, but there's been just people that you don't know, but special people in order to support you and urge you. And I know for a fact, because even my wife, a college sweetheart, and I know, and I shared even my last chapter of my book I just published, that she was one of the ones Lord sent to ask me a question. Ask me a question.
Yep.
To just shift my whole being in such a way. It was so simple. And how important is having Sandy as well to continue to urge you, and to your point, that leads to our question being one step ahead?
Yeah. It's extremely important, because I couldn't do what I do without that. In this, especially in this occupation, you spend time on the road naturally. You spend a lot of time balancing family with work. Whether those challenges are still there, even when you're following your dream, you're doing, even when you're in the right place, so to speak, you still have to balance priorities. And Sandy is one that is a straight shooter. She tells me exactly what she thinks, which I love, because if I don't do a good job, she'll let me know. And she does it in a loving way. But
Sure.
But you need that person. And the one thing that she said early on is, I was getting encouragement to get back into this, and she said, well, you're finally the person that I knew. Because that's another thing, if it's something that's really a big part of you, when you don't do that, you become someone else.
Sure.
You're not really yourself unless you're doing what you love to do, not fully. And so that's a wonderful byproduct, because you're who you are, 24/7. It's not always pretty, I'm talking about Sandy, she sees the good, bad, and the ugly. I would say this for anyone: if you're married, you're in a relationship, and you're pursuing whatever, you both need to be on board. And there'll be times where you disagree. That's happened many times.
Right.
And it will continue to happen, but as far as the agreement on the direction you're heading in, you got to be 100% sold out. You have to be.
Have to be 100%.
You have to be.
I love that notion, sold out, 100%. I want you to enter the song here in a second, but I can relate to you, because I've spoken in so many different places. And the only time I get nervous, or if I get nervous, if I see my wife in the audience, because even though I know she's there in truth and love, but I figure she's my biggest critic, but also you know, opponent, not opponent, but supporter in all of this as well. So I definitely can relate to your story there. You know, related to that is, like I said, being step ahead. Can you talk about this this piece and how it relates to having that person in your ear and always helping guide you in a certain way to always trying to improve?
Well, I'm happy about this song for two reasons. It's one of the first songs that I got published. I was working with Judy Harris Publishing Company at the time, and this song has been on hold twice for other artists. There's a lot in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, for whatever reason, artists may or may not decide to cut a song, and that's fine. It's always nice to have a song put on hold or something like that, because that tells you, hey, they liked it. You know, somebody liked it, their manager liked it, or someone. So, but this song, I was actually watching the news. I was watching a piece that was done on the Japanese culture, and it talked about how in the Japanese culture, the women walk behind the men. And I was sitting there watching this, and I thought, well, that's not the way it is here. And that's what led, that train of thought led to, at the time, I thought about my grandparents. And then I thought about my mom and dad. And I thought, well, if my dad could write a song about my mom, or my grandfather could write a song about my grandmother, what would they say? And that's where the song came from. I am fortunate today to be able to say that I feel that I have that feeling too about my wife. So
it's kind of a
generation song, I suppose, for that. But that's where it came from.
That's where it came from. So with that, we're gonna play One Step Ahead.
I've heard it said, behind every good man stands a good woman as part of the plan. But I grew up believing things should be even. We should walk through life hand in hand. So I gave her a ring, she took my name, and it didn't take long to see that when it comes to loving life and being my friend, she's always one step ahead of me. She's my light in the darkest night. She lifts me up in the toughest time. I can't believe I've got her in my life. Oh, baby, it's easy to see. That will always be one step ahead of me. She's a touch of old fashioned, a cup of compassion. She moves me to love like I never have. Words can't express how I feel inside, looking at the world through her loving eyes. She'll always be the better half of me. I know the world can see. When it comes to loving life and being my friend, she's always one step ahead of me. She's my light in the darkest night. She lifts me up in the toughest time. I can't believe I've got her in my life. Oh baby, it's easy to see. You're right where you'll always be. One step ahead.
Listen on Q Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. So today's question of the day, am I in the right place? Helping us with that is our friend and special guest, Kevin Sport, host of the weekly television and radio show, The Right Place with Kevin Sport. His calling is not only to leave people entertained, but touched and inspired and encouraged, because, as he said, when you are following your dream, your God-given dream, you're always in the right place. Kevin, thanks for staying with us.
I have had a wonderful time, man. This has been great. I appreciate so much the opportunity to be on your show and talk about stuff. It's probably good for me, too, in another way, because I do this to people that come on our TV show.
I'm sure it is. Maybe it's a little odd being on the other side of the table, but you're a pro at the end of the day. At the end of the day, definitely a pro in this. You know, I know we're coming up on time a little bit, but there's still some nuggets that we need to make sure that people hear from you, right? And I know time just definitely flies, so that means we definitely got to come back along the way. We don't have many questions, but really more support through Facebook and as well as on the Blog Talk. A few names you would recognize, even one. Linda Mahan Clark says she's listening and wanted to give you her regards. So,
Wow. I love that girl. She is one talented singer and a friend. And
Absolutely. And, thanks for staying with us. You know, I wanted to, you mentioned earlier that your dream, this life is a journey at the end of the day. And any journey, you got to have some level of navigation or compass. You said in a recent interview where your navigation was a little bit off, and then you had to change, you had to use a different navigation system. What did you mean by that? And then what made the change? How did you change that navigation to get to where you need to go?
I think that early on for a lot of us, and again, every time I have to speak from my personal experience about pursuing this passion of wanting to sing and write and be an entertainer, I think early in our life we have the wrong perception of the definition of success.
Okay.
And, I have heard other entertainers say this too in different documentaries I've watched, and it's been so encouraging to me. But when we start out thinking that, okay, once I get to this point, you know, once I get my first song played on the radio, or once I get, nominated for this award, or once my bank account's got, you know, $5 million in it, or whatever, then somehow that defines success. And the danger is that becomes your navigational system.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you ever feel good about anything when those are the things that are guiding you? Because you're never going to be satisfied, even if you do achieve some of those things. And I'm not saying that any accolades that may come our way in whatever our profession is a bad thing. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, you should want to do the best you can and be the best at your job that you can be. But you can't, in my opinion, you can't let those things be the navigational system. And I think now, and has been for a while now, the definition of success, as simple and cliche-ish as this may be, is the ability to do what you love. And knowing, for those of us who are people of faith and we believe that God put this in our heart to do, that's the reward. That's really the reward. That's success enough. Now, if we make a lot of money or if we can, share some things with other people that, you know, along those lines, you know, if we're blessed in those ways, all that's wonderful. That's great. But it doesn't define who you are, and it certainly doesn't define success. And I have talked with many guests on our show, and I hope and there'll be more. And some of them were Grammy Award winners, and some of them hadn't been nominated for anything, or some of them just got started, you know, and they're all successful because they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're in the right place. And
they're in the right in that right place, Kevin, and in the right place, and no matter where you are on your journey, how important is the heart in all of this?
Well, I don't think you can be in the right place if your heart's not there. You can't be at peace with any. You can. It's kind of like a buddy of mine says a lot. Hound Brown, who's an incredible writer and singer himself, he said, you know, you can't be in the right place unless you've experienced the peace that passes all understanding. In other words, if your heart is not in the right place, then you can't be at peace with everything when everything else around you is falling apart. And that kind of goes back to what you said earlier, you know, about failures. And that's the thing about being in the right place. Even if let's just say you pursue it and you know you've done all you can do, that thing about not quitting, there's a difference between following something out to the following out and being sold out. Then whatever happens, you're going to be at peace with it, and you're going to know and have that fulfilling feeling of success, because that's the definition. Because, you know, all these things that we hear growing up, you know, are true. That's what we find out as we live life. All these little sayings are absolutely true. Because if you don't try, you know, that within itself is failure. It would have been better to have followed out and tried and gone all out for it and absolutely have done your best, because you can't go wrong when you do that. Someone that you were supposed to meet and see and be a blessing to is going to cross your path.
Yep.
And you know, we could go on and on about, you know, the blessings of following your dream, you know, your God-given dream, and that's what our brand is all about. That's what that's our message, you know, in what we do, as far as the songs we share. The entertainment part is absolutely wonderful, and we love doing it, and we hope that people are entertained and feel good, but our message is that simple.
It's that simple. It is that simple. It goes back to your point of saying it is not about us at the end of the day. It's about bearing fruit, being blessing to others. If you're planting a seed, or you're sowing, or you're just a soul with your heart, with your story, with your music, is so important along the way. I know I'm keeping a little bit longer than I would. I just hopefully got a few more minutes along the way, but I want to get to one more thing and one more song. But before we get to that, I wanted to give you an opportunity to share with our audience and friends on how do they contact you, how do they find you, and essentially just kind of give them a roadmap on where to see you every week.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking me that. The best place to get in contact with us is Facebook. You can go to The Right Place with Kevin Sport fan page, and please like our page. And there's so much info on Facebook, on our Facebook page. And again, it's The Right Place with Kevin Sport Facebook. And then we do have a website, and it's therightplacewithkevinsport.com. We film. I want to invite anyone that may be in the Nashville, Tennessee area. We are home to Columbia, Tennessee, which is just 30-some-odd miles away from downtown Nashville. And we partnered with Puckett's Grocery, which is one of the best entertainment food venues in Nashville. They've got five locations. They've got one downtown Nashville, and they have a special location in Columbia, Tennessee, because it's one of the largest of the Puckett's restaurants. And it's a combination. People ask me, well, what? You know, if they've never been, I say, well, it's kind of like Cracker Barrel on steroids, because the food is awesome, and the music and the stage and everything that they create there at Puckett's, it's a wonderful experience, and we are very proud to be part of what they do. And when we come in and film a show, and you can go to our website and check out, you know, we normally film our shows from January through May or something like that. You know, that schedule varies a little bit, but if you happen to be in town and you can catch being in our show and being there live, man, I'd love to have you. I mean, that's one of the things we love to do. So that pretty much wraps that up. That's the best places to get in touch with us.
Absolutely. I'm going to put that on our list. Kennedy, we're going to put that on our list. Columbia, Tennessee. And so we can get one of the shows hopefully sometime soon. You know, related to that, we'll always try to end with this, but I want you we're going to intro one of these last songs before we're going to change up our ending, Kennedy, to make sure we get this in. I think it's important. What can we be in prayer with you about, Kevin?
Oh, what a wonderful question. That's one of the most powerful things we can do is pray for each other. So I would say, you know, our prayer is that we encourage people, whether it's through our TV show or live performance, or we want to connect with as many people as we can while we're here on this earth as possible in a positive way. You know, everybody jokes at me when I say this, but I say it to make a point. You know, I wasn't called to be a preacher per se or a pastor, but I am very passionate about encouraging folks to love each other and following your dream, you know, and doing, you know, what's been put in your heart to do. And so, you know, I know we've said this before in our talk today, but we would appreciate that you know, you pray that we can keep doing that. And the byproduct for us is, you know, we get to do something we love, and that is just, you know, something we want everybody else to experience too. So that would be my prayer request.
Well, we're going to virtually in touch and agree on that, on what Kevin shared, that we're going to love and pray for each other, and we need more and more of that. You know, we asked the question, we started our question of the day, am I in the right place? And I pray that you were able to listen throughout the whole broadcast to help Kevin really articulate, he really shared some great points for us to help answer that question when we know when we're under season. It always starts to knowing that Lord planted your dream in your heart. And on this Palm Sunday, it puts it in the mind of, I'm going to shorten the closing here, but it talks about when right before, later on a few days after Palm Sunday, as Christ was in the garden, and ultimately it was his time. It was in his time, in his right place. And he asked the Lord, take this cup from me. But then he quickly said, Lord, not your will, but yours. And so in all of this, if you're in the right place, no matter where you are, if you're challenged, being defeated, or you need to be molded, you're feeling empty, you don't have a voice, just say that, Lord, not my will, but yours. And we'll find ourselves in the right place. And so with that, though, Kevin, with that will in mind, and as we talked about, of this is not about us, this is about being sold out. It's about planting seeds and really growing and being and helping others. And I think this the last song we're going to close out with, this last will and testament, really is your anthem, and it's the anthem that really helped answer this question, I believe. Can you quickly tell us about the last will and testament and and then we're going to play it and close out, and we're going to thank you, brother, for staying with us longer than I said I was going to keep you, but this has been wonderful. It just really begs for another time for us to have some dialogue as well.
Hey, anytime. I would be just a privilege to come on, and know you hadn't kept me too long. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Last Will and Testament was written by a good friend of mine. Well, Rusty has become a good friend. And Rusty Moody sat down and wrote a song about his family. And the characters in this song are very real to him. The only one that was Ben. But Ben represents a lot of people in Rusty's life. It's like he told me. He said, we've been struck with cancer. Everybody's been touched by that, unfortunately. Whether we lost someone to cancer or we have a cancer survivor in our family or our circle of close friends of Ben's character, and as you listen to the song, you find that out. But there's another blessing, and what led me to Muscle Shoals was two or three things. It was cutting a few songs and writing with some people, and I had a chance to meet Mike McGuire, who is part of a huge part of Shenandoah. And I had known Marty. Marty Raven has been around for years, an incredible singer. And, you know, I want to say this because when I think back to this journey and these songs and these years that we've had in the past and growing these relationships, I'm about to be able to be a part of not just me but our group in doing some shows with the reunion tour of Shenandoah. And that's going to start toward the end of the year and on into 2016. And see, I wouldn't have been afforded that opportunity had it not been for the past years that really started with this song. Because I had just gotten back into doing this, as I've said earlier, and that song was pitched to me. Tim McGraw had that song on hold for about 6 months and didn't cut it. And I teasingly say this all the time. I'm glad I was able to record it. I'm sure somebody else will record it too down the road, because it's just an incredibly great song. And it has become an anthem for us. You know, I hope that, you know, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you know, we will say, you know what, we live that song, and we sure tried to every day.
Every day.
So thank you for spending that too. I appreciate it very much. I hope it encourages somebody.
Yes, thank you. And that's Kevin Sport answering our question of the day: am I in the right place? And we thank everyone for joining us. And we're going to close out with this song, and ultimately continue to support our ministry. And as well as also buy my book, of course. I have to plug that, The Leader in the Mirror, The Second Chance to Close the Gap. And we give all honor and praise to Christ Jesus, our Savior, and thank all those supporters, even my assistant here, my wife, better half, my daughter, my friends and family on Facebook. And we dedicate this show to my mom today, especially, and my family, considering this last will and testament, and Barefoot is one of those that kind of struck our hearts today. 2 years ago, my father went on to be with the Lord, and I know that it's filling the hearts and minds of everyone that knew him. And so this is an on cue until next week. We live, Lord spares, my mom would say. Let's get on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling in our lives, and get others on cue. We're going to close out with Last Will and Testament by Kevin Sport.
Testament of a man named Ray. He didn't have much in life, but he was happy anyway. Oh, Ray was a rich man, 'cause he had three kids and a loving wife, and they loved him more than life. Testament of a man named Max. what you give back. Oh, oh, oh. Max was a rich man, 'cause he had good friends and a real good name, and that's something hard to find these days. Measure of a man is easy to define. It's not in what he has, it's in what he leaves behind. This is the last will and testament of a man named Ben. Life cut short by a bad disease, but he was brave right to the end. And oh, rich man, he could still laugh when he lost his hair. The whole team chased there to show they care. Oh, the measure of a man is easy to define. It's not in what he has, but it's in what he. This is the last will and testament of a man.